What's up, everybody? Welcome to Trail Tales, the podcast, where every single week, myself, Kyle O'Grady, a thru-hiker, a peak-bagger, a huge hiking nerd, chats with other thru-hikers and other peak-baggers and other hiking nerds about their experiences on the trail. I am very excited to bring Colby Zeemendorf, my good buddy from Clarkson, back on the show. Many of you might know Colby as the co-founder of 46 Climbs, the charity organization that him and his now wife, Catherine, started many years ago while they were at Clarkson to raise money for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Colby's been on a few times before, and I know many of you listening probably are at least familiar with 46 Climbs at this point. Maybe you even donated to my award-winning team from last year, because the as we talk about this in just a second in the episode, but the Kyle Hayes Hiking team was the number one fundraising team for 46 Climbs last year, which is awesome. And so Colby and I talk about 46 Climbs. We spend most of the conversation actually talking about the Long Trail and the Northville Placid Trail a little bit, because Colby is going to be attempting a Long Trail through hike this upcoming summer, which is really cool. So yeah, we kind of talk about that compared to the NPT a little bit, and we just have a good time. And at the end of the episode, you got to stick around to the end, because I tell a pretty interesting story that has to do with 46 Climbs, and mostly has to do with me being a douchebag when I was in college, and a 46 Climbs t-shirt. I'll leave it there. It's kind of funny. It relates to my AT thru hike as well. So just listen to the end for that. For once, the guest doesn't tell the end of episode story, I tell it, so kind of interesting. But anyways, Colby, thank you for coming on the show again. I really appreciate it, and I want to use this episode as the quote official unquote announcement of my 46 Climbs fundraising team for this year. So if you're hearing this and you've been wondering about that, and I know many of you have been because I've been getting your messages, yes, I am doing another 46 Climbs fundraising team this year. It is called Kyle Hayes Hiking once again, but it certainly includes the Trail Tales folks as well. Even if you don't watch my stupid videos, if you want to sign up, join the Kyle Hayes Hiking team. I will have a link to it in the show notes. If you can't find it for whatever reason, just go to 46climbs.com and choose my team when you sign up. Or if you still can't find it or whatever, you need help, just send me a Instagram DM at Kyle Hayes Hiking or an email trailtalespod@gmail.com, and I will be happy to direct you to the correct spot and raise some money with you. So with that said, I'm going to keep this one short. I say that every single time, and they're never any shorter than the previous episode, but let's get into the episode number 116 with my good buddy Colby Zeemendorf. I sound so awkward in this. Of 46 Climbs. All right, what's up, everybody? What's up, Colby Zeemendorf? Welcome back to the show for the we can't remember how many if time.
Thank you.
I'm excited to have you here. Colby and I were literally just talking before I started the recording here. You've done at least two, possibly three, but possibly just two episodes. Neither one of us can remember. I was under the impression that we had done one like somewhat recently, as in like the past year, but apparently apparently it's been like close to 2 years since, or something like that. Let's see. I got it right here.
Yeah.
Assuming we've only done two, the last time would have been August of 2019. Damn. Yeah. That's crazy.
This is the first time I'm coming on without a ridiculous story about going after something huge and failing miserably.
So that's actually true, damn. Okay, well, almost 2 years later, let's get a follow-up. Did you ever attempt to like do the I don't even remember what it's called.
25 high peaks in 24 hours.
Did you ever end up trying to do it again?
I did not. So basically what happened, I dropped 8 months like full dedication on training for that. I didn't see friends. Weekends were spent driving to mountains and running mountains, and I just, like, after that, and getting up there and only getting, I don't know, a couple hours into it and getting a migraine. A little recap on that. Yeah, I got a migraine a couple mountains in, and when I get migraines, I stop being able to see, which is important.
Pretty important.
And then my medication, which I luckily had on me, kind of messes with my head a little bit. So it was like, so I guess the only other time I've run while using it, I had a migraine during a 30-mile race. Actually, what park was that? I forgot. But during a race, I took it and basically, put in perspective, I lost 8 toenails because I was just like completely out of it. And I finished the race and I don't know, I beat my PR by 20 minutes. And
oh, there you go.
It was just a bad, bad thing. But yeah, going after something of that magnitude with that, not having my wits about me, even when I was doing the bushwhack off of Iroquois going to Marshall, I was just all over the place. Like the week before or 2 weeks before, I did that bushwhack just to get it back in my head again. And I was annoyed that it took me 15 minutes longer than I thought it should have. And I got back and I was like, I had no idea what was going on. And at that point, I was just like, I need to get out of here. And so, yeah, recap. I was burnt out by that. I haven't done anything crazy since then just because I've been more focusing on, you know, I don't know, my house has been a big renovation. You know, just doing
boring.
Normal people stuff. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
I joined a softball team after 7 years since I played college baseball.
Oh, there you go.
First swing, I pop my shoulder out, so that I'm all washed up now.
damn, that's crazy. Have you still been getting up to the mountains though, even if you're not trying to set any freaking records and stuff?
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. I used my Trump Bucks this year on a pair of Alpine touring skis.
Oh, cool.
So I got quite a lot of use out of them. Opened up a whole new world of like the Adirondacks and some other places. Even locally, there's a small ski hill near me that they have Nordic nights. So while other people are going around on cross country skis, I get to like go hike up the mountain by myself and have the whole mountain lit and on a weeknight entirely to myself to just do laps, and really enjoyed that. And then I used my Biden Bucks for mountain bikes. So my wife and
I
got mountain bikes. And don't worry, because Uncle Sam took all that money back this year in taxes, but we got into some new things this year and having a lot of fun with that. So it's definitely getting in the mountains a lot. We're trying to prepare. I'm sure we'll get into this later in the podcast. We're gonna go after the long trail this year.
Let's go. So, yes, we'll definitely get into that. Let's start with just some 46 climbs talk. So in case you skipped the intro, which you shouldn't, please listen to my intros. They're not as long as they used to be, I promise. In case you missed the intro, Colby or the last two, possibly three, but I think just two episodes that we've done, Colby is the co-founder of the 46 Climbs organization. I'm sure a lot of you listening are already familiar with it. I'm sure a lot of you listening can probably hear that ambulance outside my house. But what I was going to say there, I'm sure a lot of you listening have donated, maybe to my team, maybe to your own team, maybe to someone else's team. But just for those that aren't familiar, Colby, can you just give like the rundown?
Yeah. So, 46 climbs started in the Adirondacks. It's very confusing for people who are local to the Adirondacks.
Yep. It's confusing for a lot of people. I still have to explain it sometimes when people ask about my shirt. They're like, I thought that was like the peak bagging list. I'm like, well, yeah, it is, but it's also like this thing. Anyway, sorry.
and it's actually sparked a lot of conversations that exact way. So it's, we stuck with it. But basically, it's a 10-day period every year where people across the country and even outside of the country go and hike or climb a mountain to raise funds and awareness for suicide prevention and mental illness. And so we've got people, first-time hikers, all the way up to experienced ultra-endurance athletes, rock climbers, through hikers. We've had pretty much everybody, and it's just a cool time where, especially, I mean, we've been in this time where, like, if you turn on the TV, everything's at odds with each other. Everyone's at odds with each other. And, you know, during this 10-day period, we've got a united front against, suicide. And so during that week, people climb. There's a map on our website showing every mountain that someone will be standing on during the event. And it already is covering the U.S. Right now, and we've got plenty of time until September. So, and I should probably say what date it is.
Yeah. What are the dates? I don't even know.
It is September 3rd to the 12th.
Nice.
So you got Labor Day weekend in there to plan your hikes.
Nice.
Last year we had 1,033 people, I believe, climbing.
Hell yeah.
And we raised $187,000 for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and they use that money for research, education, advocacy, and help for those who need it. They're an incredible organization. And in the process, the numbers as far as climbing goes, I actually have a calc that I do. So when you sign up, I'm working on the back end, and I figure out how much elevation gain you and your teammates will be climbing. So last year we had 273 times Mount Everest climbed.
Nice.
That's
nice.
The elevation gain. So it's I feel like it's harder and harder for me to explain this every year because I get more and more nervous because it's like originally it was like, please come out and do this event with us. And now I'm like talking for 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. Just happy to be a part of it. And, man, when the event's going on, we've got a hashtag 46 climbs. And so you got pictures of people from all over the country and world climbing with, and a lot of the times, you know, this is a tough subject. And so it's interesting where we've taken such a tough subject and you've got, I give this example a lot. There's a couple individuals that had lost their daughter 3 months prior to one of our events a few years back. And there was like, they had a picture up with them on top of a mountain with their hands up, smiles on their face. And that's what we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a solemn walk, you know, around a circle or through the woods.
It's fun.
The energy is positive, nothing but positive. And our catch line is, achieving positive altitude.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think you did a really good job of explaining it there. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's been so successful and been growing year after year is just because like, it's just fun, you know, it's like just taking something that's obviously sad and bad and turning it, well, not turning it into something fun, but, you know, I'm trying to make light of it, I guess. Is that even, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but I think people know what I'm saying. It's a positive event around, you know, something so negative, I guess.
And it's something, you know, if you're dealing with some kind of mental illness yourself, or if you've lost somebody, or, you know, if you fall into any of those categories, like there's times when you feel alone. It's not a subject that's talked a lot about, and during this 10-day period we've got, you know, we're taking over the country's mountains and and like the interwebs with all of this incredible positive, you know, this incredible positive thing. Lost my train of thought.
No, you're good. You're good. And let's talk about, obviously we have to talk about, bring this back to me. Let's talk about my team last year for a little bit.
Yeah.
So again, I know a lot of people listening were a part of my team. And when I say my team, my name was on it. That's about all that I actually did to raise the money. It was like so many different people that stepped up. For those of you that don't know, my team last year was the number one fundraising team in the whole organization. We raised over $11,000, our team, which is insane. Because I didn't even know like how much I would be able to raise. And I did it the year before my YouTube channel. And even then, it was a few thousand, which I was really stoked on. Shout out to anybody who donated that year before.
Absolutely.
Too. Like, I know there's a few people listening still that did, which I really appreciate. But it was crazy because I only fundraised for like a month too. I launched it in like, I don't know, maybe like August, like early August or late July or something like that, and went from nothing to the number one team. And I was getting kind of competitive by the end there. I was like every day I would like check it a few times a day. I was like, oh shit, like we're creeping up there. And then we got in front, and then the other team pulled ahead for a little bit, and I was like, oh shit. But at the end of the day, the Trail Tales and Kyle Hitchhiking subscribers pulled through, which was so amazing. And I got so many messages, and still do, from people who were just like so stoked on it. And I've had a number of people reach out about this year's team, this year's Kyle Hitchhiking team, and to the point where they kind of like forced me to start the page because I hadn't even started it yet, because last year was so last minute. I was like, I'm not going to wait that long to start my page this year. But I was like, I hadn't really thought about starting it yet for some reason. And then I got a few messages from people. So thank you if you sent me a message asking about it, being like, yo, where's your 46 Climbs team? And I was like, shit, well, if I don't start it soon, these people are just going to start their own teams. And I'm gunning for that number one spot again this year. We're gunning for that number one spot. Everybody listening, and myself, I should say.
You guys put the work in too. Besides the fundraising, you guys were the top elevation gain.
Oh, nice.
I've got the number right here. It's 198,454 feet of climbing.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Vertical.
That's right. Yeah, we don't fuck around here at Trail Tales, but but no. So anyways, I want to use this as an opportunity to be like, yo, my page is up. So this is the official announcement. The Kyle Hitchhiking team is back on. I will have a link to it in the show notes. So please, if you were a part of it last year, go join the team again this year. You know what to do. If you were not a part of it last year, and you want to be a part of it this year, maybe go to 46climbs.com and kind of learn a little bit more about it. Maybe go listen to one of the previous episodes Colby and I did, because we talked a lot about it, especially in the first one, although that's a really old episode. It was like episode 15 or something like that.
Mm. I can even say a little bit about how it works when you
sign
up.
Actually, why don't you do that too? And again, I know a lot of people listening already know this stuff, but I think that's good. I'm sure there's some folks that want to join this year that didn't have a chance to last year, didn't hear about it last year or whatever. So yeah, how can folks sign up specifically for the Kyle Hitchhiking team?
So I'm sure you will use your link for the page to share it around, so you can sign up. If you guys see him post it that way, you can do it that way, or you go to 46climbs.com and there's some buttons on there that'll kick you over to the donor drive page, which is entirely run by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We don't handle any money whatsoever, and we like it that way. You can navigate to his Kyle Hitchhiking team and sign up that way, or you just click the sign up button, and when it asks you like what team you want to be on, or if you want to start one, you click on Kyle's team. So
I love how I have like the co-founder of the organization, like, yeah, you have to click on Kyle's team.
Yeah.
No, I know that's not what you meant, but it's funny.
Yeah, so it's $25.
I think it's 25, yeah.
Yeah. It's $25. And with that money, we at cost will send you a 46 Climbs Dry Fit t-shirt. The color this year is navy blue.
Let's
go. Pretty sharp, if I may say so myself. So yeah, and there's some other goodies that come along with it, stickers and some leave no trace information, because we take that stuff very seriously.
Especially when you've got like beginners potentially getting out there for the first time because they heard about the event and stuff. Yeah, I think that's cool how you guys send out that little pamphlet, or not pamphlet, the little card or whatever with the leave no trace stuff on it.
Yeah. So check it out. If you got any questions, you can send me an email. I would happy to answer them.
Yeah.
So
cool. So yeah, everybody, please go check it out. Even if you aren't sure, you just want to go poke around the page, just go to 46climbs.com and you can learn more about it. It's really cool. It's been, I've said this before, but by the way, I have this thing going, Colby, where I've done so many episodes now that every time I say something that I've said before, I always say like, oh, I've said this before. And I've said, oh, I've said this before so many times now that it's like a drinking game. So drink every time Kyle says, I said this before. Anyways,
man, somebody's drunk right now, if that's the case.
Probably. That was the first time I said it this one, but at least like 5 times every episode I say that. But anyways,
nice.
It's been really cool to watch it like go from just like a booth on campus at Clarkson to like this like huge event that's raising over $100,000 in 1 year. And like, just it's cool, man. I really appreciate all the work that you guys put into it too. You, Catherine, your mom.
My mom.
It? Yeah.
She runs a show on all the packages. So
speaking of that, where's my package? It hasn't showed up yet.
So the packages are sent out in waves. So if you register by July 5th. It'll be shipped by July 19th. There's a whole list of dates on there. July 19th, you'll get it by, or it'll be shipped by August 2nd. Definitely, if you're gonna sign up, if you could do that as soon as possible, that helps us just because we want to order the right amount of shirts. We don't want to have leftover shirts. We want all the money going directly to the foundation. So would definitely make our lives easier. My mom goes nuts after, like, when the event's going on and people are still signing up, and it's awesome, but you could make her life a little bit easier and sign up now. So
there you go. All right, let's talk about the NPT a little bit. So Colby, I swore that we had talked about this on the show before, but I think it's just because I've talked about the NPT in a lot of other episodes that I guess we just never got a chance to talk about it. Colby hiked the NPT in like fall of 2019, right?
That sounds right. And I think on the last episode, I was like, oh yeah, I'm doing this. Hey, Kyle, check out, I'm going to be a thru hiker now. and I think you were trying to actually do it with me, and then something ended up where you had a conflict and
this is all coming back to me now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So, I still got around to it.
But I did it. So my wife, Catherine.
Okay. Yeah, go.
And I and our friend Sarah went and did the NPT, and so all of us are runners. Kath and I are ultra runners. Sarah has done some ultra distance stuff. We're all in pretty good shape. None of us, like, so I guess before this, I've obviously backpacked, doing like overnight or two here and there. But as far as like going out for, you know, I know for a lot of people on this channel, going out for 8 or 9 days is short, but for somebody who hasn't done that before, you know, I totally underestimated it. All of us did. Even just like what a heavy pack does to you, like, people are probably laughing hysterically at this, but like, like we were running, we ran a 50 miler that year. Like we were in good shape, but we didn't like really like do much hiking with heavy packs. And so then we were like, all right, we're doing it in 8 days. It was like, what was it? I think it was 8 days. I want to say maybe it was 9 days, and there were like 2 half days or something like that. But whatever it was like pretty solid pace. We looked at the elevation and we're like, oh, this whole trail is flat. It's not a big deal. Like, it's just hiking, you know. We got the whole day to go hike, you know, 20 miles or whatever it is, however we split it up.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it kicked our butt. Holy crap.
Yeah, dude, it's a hard trail.
I have so much more respect for, not that I didn't have the respect before for through hikers, but wow, dude. Man, the nutrition part of it, oh, I think that honestly killed us.
And to be fair, the Norfolk Plus Trail is hard, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's a hard trail to start with. And deceivingly hard, drink, everybody. I've said it before, but deceivingly hard. But yeah, that's a hard trail. Honest to God, we're going to get into the long trail discussion in a minute here. But honest to God, I think the NPT is as hard as the long trail. On paper, really? It's not.
Yeah, because the elevation change on...
And there's more miles on the LT.
Yeah, and there's way more days.
But I don't know. I think the NPT is just as hard, if not
You
harder.
Did it pretty quickly, too. You did it like 8 or 9 days,
I think it
right?
was eight, maybe. Eight yeah, days? Something
yeah.
like that.
So... Yeah, it's just, I don't know. That trail is freaking hard. I don't know what made it hard. There's like a lot of blowdown, and it just kind of gets you out of like a nice zone. The reroute. So being runners and a lot of people who through hike, I'm sure, do not use GPS or anything like that. But we had GPS watches, and we had the InReach with us. So every day we're following the map. And all of a sudden, like it, you see where the trail used to be, and then they rerouted it, and you see it just zigzags right next to the trail, and it adds like a couple miles each. It's like it was like 2 to 4 miles additional than what we thought we were doing that day.
Damn.
And that mentally just, I mean, the trail is beautiful. The whole thing was beautiful. You did it in rain. Pretty sure
a lot of it, yeah, at least.
Actually, so you did it before too, so you've had
part of it.
Yep. But it's a beautiful trail. The lakes and everything are awesome. Don't go hike there. Leave it wild, I guess. I don't know. It's hard because it's like you just want to like say that, you know, it's amazing, go do it. But
no, you could say that. Not that many people hike that trail anyway. Right. So you could say that about any trail. We say that all the time on here. All
right.
It is a hard trail. It's a hard trail. And I think you guys, I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly how your experience was. I don't know. I think it's just as hard as the long trail, though. Physically, the long trail is harder for sure. But it's just... There's so, like, the views are better. Like, we're talking about how beautiful the MPT is. It's beautiful. It is, but it's just a different kind of beautiful. It's like a less beautiful kind of beautiful than like the mountain views.
Yeah, you get some mountain views. And, yeah,
exactly.
That'll get your spirits up.
And you get plenty of that on the long trail. Plenty of that. It's also, there's more people. There's going to be way more people.
Yeah.
And
we saw eight people the whole time.
See, that's crazy. See, we didn't see very many. I think that does help. Granted, it's been a number of years since I did the long trail now, so I'm sure it's even more crowded than it was when I did it, but I think being around other people going through the same thing, I don't know, just something about having more through hikers around you and more people around you, I think that makes it a little bit easier too. I don't know.
Yeah,
at least for me.
Goof around, and I know we've done some like days out on the long trail. Even last year, we met some goofy people, and it just, you know... It just makes the miles go faster, and it's
definitely.
But there is something to being like entirely alone out there.
The MPT definitely feels more remote. I will say the northern part of the long trail, like way the fuck up, like close to Canada, part feels pretty remote. Maybe not quite as remote as the MPT, but it feels a lot more remote than the southern part does.
I forgot what lean-to it was, but that lean-to is the most remote location in New York State.
Yeah, West Canada Lakes.
Yeah, that's right.
West Canada, or something like that.
Or no, it wasn't
West
Canada.
No, you're right, you're right. I thought
West
it was
Canada,
that.
West Canada Lakes is beautiful, but it was something more north.
You're right. It was something closer to the High Peaks region, I think.
Yeah.
I remember this now, because originally I thought it was West Canada Lakes. I'm pretty sure like the old guidebook I bought back in like 2015 said that West Canada Lakes was, but then I read somewhere else.
I think it's like
else.
Near the sewer?
It starts with an O, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like... OU something.
I can actually probably look it up if we care.
Like, fuck, I can't remember. It's not that now. I just want to know. Northville.
Yeah, peakbagger.com has like a weird thing that you can find, like a remote.
What is it? Yeah, somehow, I don't know. I can't somewhere. Find it. But anyways, that the MPT is wicked remote.
Most isolated spots in the U.S.
Yes,
I'm
this is
get
the page.
It for you.
This is the page that I was looking at too. Now that you mentioned it,
Aluska Pass Brook Lean.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That is the one.
I think
if you want to be by yourself for many miles,
you know where to find it.
There it is.
That's funny, but you know it won't be quite as remote as that. But the long trail that is, but. The northern part's still pretty remote, albeit a little bit more well-traveled even still than the NPT, probably. Although it's getting more popular.
Yeah.
So
they actually made bear cans. You have to use bear cans to do it now. Which,
just the last part of the NPT.
Oh, it's just the last part.
I think
part.
It's
okay.
Just, I think, I mean, unless maybe there's something
probably
else.
Near the High Peak region.
I think it's when you're in the High Peaks region you have to. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to get it done last year, too, because then I wouldn't have to. Because they originally last year you were supposed to have to start using the bear can, and then they like pushed it back for whatever reason. So I was like, Flossie, this is our window. This is our last chance to do it without having to fucking deal with the bear canister. Of course, we ended up blowing through that entire 30-mile section and like just, you know, not very long anyway, so... We would have only needed it for one night, but it worked out.
That was my first time using a bear hang, actually.
How did it go? Were they good?
It went, so I took your advice. I remember talking to you about it before, and I was an idiot, you know, in my backyard throwing throwing it at the trees in my backyard, and you know, I got the hang of it.
It does take practice.
Absolutely, like there's times, especially on that trail. Finding a good tree was just difficult at times. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there are always times when you're just like tired and freaking it misses every time. And, just,
and then
like,
it gets caught. And then you're like doing the thing where you're like trying to finesse it to get it out of the branch. Like, but if you pull it too hard, it'll get stuck more.
Like
we've all been there. I spent like, dude, I literally spent like 40 minutes one time on my AT through hike. Trying to get my friends, for some reason I was borrowing my friends like Z-Packs, like DCF little rock sack, which I don't know how, I mean, it's just a little bag, so it couldn't have been that expensive. It's DCF, Z-Packs, I'm sure it wasn't dirt cheap, so I didn't want to lose it, and I got it stuck in the freaking tree. I'm like, God, so I'm like, I wish I was on video right now so I could show like the hand motion I'm doing, but like, you know, you're trying to like flick the line to like get it unstuck.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I literally did it for like 40 minutes. And I was about to just like give up because I was like, oh, I feel like such a douche. I fucking lost my friend's rock bag. And I I don't know how I got it. I got it after like, it happened a couple times actually. The other times it was just my own bag, thankfully. But I never actually got it stuck. Although one time I did get my line stuck, and that was before the AT. One of the first times I ever tried to hang a bear bag in the Adirondacks, actually, in the Seward Range. Yeah, that sucked. That's never any fun. Did you get any lines stuck though?
Let's think. I don't think I got any stuck. It was more just like throws that were off, and you know the usual. Mm-hmm. I don't think I got any stuck. I used just the bag that like my stakes for my tent came in.
Not a bad idea.
And just wrapped some line around that and used that, just threw like dirt in it at the end of the day or rocks or whatever I could find, and then tossed it up. So that worked pretty well, but I don't know. Yeah, there's times when like I'd throw it and then like the rope would come off of it and my bag would just like soar into the woods. So I worked through that, but yep.
Yeah, it's an art. Flossie loves his bear hangs. It's like, I feel like at first, when you first start learning and you suck at it, you like don't care that much. So as long as you get it in the branch, you're like, fuck it, even if it's like not the best one. But then as you get better, you start to care more and more. And eventually you start to take some pride in it, right? So like,
yeah. Well, like, I was the designated thrower because of my baseball past. And
yeah,
so
you got no excuses there.
I know. Yeah, but my shoulder's jacked up.
Were you a pitcher?
I was a catcher.
Okay.
I more played left bench. That was more kind of my place, but I probably caught more games in the bullpen, more had more throws than anyone, just back to the pitcher in the bullpen than and I don't know. I had like the short, as a catcher, you have like a shorter throw, like your arm is shorter. And I don't know, my shoulder clicks like when I move it in any type of like throwing motion.
Throw out your shoulder trying to hang a bear bag.
Yeah, that'd be tough. One.
That'd be tough. Yeah. You might want to practice a little more because you're definitely going to want a bear hang on the long trail.
Oh, yeah.
A couple spots will have bear cans or bear boxes, I think. But for the most part, you're going to be hanging your bear bag.
So we originally applied to do the John Muir Trail this year and had the long trail as our secondary thing, and we didn't get in. So that was one of the benefits of, I was like, yes, I don't have to carry a bear with a bear can. It's great.
Okay, so there are two different trails, obviously, but what are some of the things you learned on your NPT? Because that was your first, through hike. What are some of the, or backpacking trip that long? What are some of the things you learned on that trip that you're going to apply to the long trail this year?
I would definitely. So the nutrition part of it, we packed a pretty well. So I know that you're somebody who says go into towns and stuff. I don't know. We had a drop bag halfway, and didn't deal with the trying to get a hitch into town or anything. We all have like weird. I have a milk allergy. My wife can't eat red meat or gluten, and then Sarah was vegan, and then Brad. So there was another guy, Brad, our good friend, that joined us for a while until his feet ended up like Swiss cheese, and he had to he dropped out in Paseco. But he went back this past year, and he freaking did the whole thing.
Oh, nice, cool.
Yeah, he finished it out. It was funny, actually. Side note. I got to tell this story because it's great.
Go for it.
We've got a blog post on our site, 46climbs.com, that Sarah wrote about our trip, and it's got pictures and everything. And it's funny because Brad was out there hiking again this past year, and this woman had some blisters, and like they were in camp or whatever, and he got to know this woman. And she had like called somebody else saying like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I might have to get picked up. And the person who talked to her, they're like, oh, well, you could be just like Brad, like they had read the blog post and they said him by name. Like they knew the story. And so it was funny because she brought it up like, oh yeah, they were talking to like, there's this blog post and Brad had some problems.
That's
and
funny
he's like,
shit.
He's
that's like, me. That's me.
That's me. Just like sitting in a lean-to, like talking to this person, like, that's me.
That's so funny.
So that was great.
But nutrition.
Nutrition. Oh my goodness. So Brad came back, he picked us up. What the heck is the one spot along the trail that it's like a campground area? Dang, what the
heck is it? Lake Durant.
Lake Durant. So we got to Lake Durant, Brad came and he brought us salad and like, I don't know, a bunch of food, and just like the real food was just, holy crap, incredible. And then he drove us to the nearest gas station and I got like a couple boxes of Junior Mints and oh my gosh, we realized later on like we were not packing enough sugar for how much we were moving.
That is hilarious.
We packed way too healthy, and
that's so funny because most people, like literally every other person I've had this conversation with, it's the opposite. They're like, yeah, I just packed honey buns and like Kit Kats and that, like I need that's so that's actually so funny.
We packed way too healthy, and now like I will pack like sugary stuff. Anytime we've gone out since then, it's just been like Junior Mints and, you know, I don't know, cookies. And it's just, that was a huge thing. Like we were hitting walls along the way, just sugar crashes. So that's a huge part. Definitely. I lost like 10 pounds doing it.
Damn, dude.
So I'm 6'2". I'm like a bigger guy, I guess, but, and I usually eat a lot. So I have a high metabolism, and I just wasn't getting enough food, I guess. And
it's hard. Finding that balance between eating somewhat healthy out there and getting enough calories is so hard. Like, there's so much, you know, it's been talked about a lot. Not so much on the show. It has been before, drink, but not that much. It's probably not as much as it should, but it's such a hard balance. I just think it's so funny that you guys did the opposite of what most people do, because like it's just so funny because yeah, like I said, freaking, I feel like most people, like the vast majority of people, I mean, maybe there's someone else out there too who did what you did, but most people, myself included, go like not healthy at all and like have too much sugar. And so I thought that's where you were gonna go when you first started telling that, and then you said we needed more sugar, and that like helped you feel better. And so that's funny.
It's funny because, you know, like nutrition is super important in ultra running too, and like we'd have like more sugary things, like Oreos is a big thing, Coke during races. People drink Coke. They'd like, I don't know, like nutrition wise, like I feel like I should have known this. And I don't know. I totally underestimated how like difficult this was going to be. I thought we were going to get into camp and, you know, swim and have the whole day. Like, we were just going to get up early, get our miles in, and like relax the rest of the day. And it just did not end up that way.
No.
So, totally. I'm so glad that we did that, though, because, you know, we've always talked about doing like the long trail, the John Muir Trail, and getting out and doing something longer like that. And man, if we didn't do that before, and then we got on a trail, it was like, so we took off 3 weeks for the long trail this year, which, man, that was something, going to your boss and being like, I'm just going to take all my vacation at the same time.
Yeah, I bet.
So we got it. Going for that amount of time and not having that experience would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more towns and things you can get out and like get food on the long trail. I would say, I mean, you'd probably know better, but
I do, trust me.
It seems like it. And there's even like, I saw there's a place at like a hotel and bar and grill like right on the trail in one section. And
the inn at Killington, maybe, is that what it is?
Maybe that's it. Yeah,
something like that. I've never been there. I don't know if it's right on the trail, but it's close.
Okay. Or
the inn at Killington, what did I say? The inn at Long Trail is what I meant to say. Or maybe it is right on the trail. I don't remember. Like I said, I never stopped there. But
yeah,
I'll tell you where all the good spots are. You guys are planning or whatever, you can ask me. But there's no reason to carry like huge food carries on this trail, because town is so accessible. And then once you guys get up here, you got to hit me up too, because it'd be cool to come hike, just like spend a night with you guys, or
that'd be awesome.
Or let you shuttle you into town or something, help out however I can. Because
definitely, I will take you up on that.
Sure. You should, because like you'll be real close to me too. There's one crossing, that's like 30, not even 30 minutes, like from my house. So, so it wouldn't even be a pain for me. Okay, so now we're fully on LT talk now. You must have some questions. How far along in the planning are you guys?
So my wife Catherine has gotten pretty intimate with the trail already. I don't know. I mean, we took the vacation time. That was a big step.
You're committed.
I'm committed. And I don't know. We keep saying we gotta like really make the point of going out and getting time on feet with a heavy pack.
Yeah.
And I think that would make a huge difference. We're all in pretty decent shape. The uphill from like the alpine touring skiing has got me in pretty decent shape, and the mountain biking and stuff. But there's nothing like having a heavy pack, and we learned that on the last trail, and I'm hoping not to make that mistake again. What other questions would we have? Where do we begin?
There's a lot of climbing on this trail, a lot more than the NPT. That's going to be the biggest, probably, or one of the biggest differences. So any preparation you can do by climbing with your pack, like going up, like there's a lot of spots that are comparable to like the high peaks and stuff.
So
basically as much climbing as you can do with your pack on, like you're going to be glad that you did it leading up to it for sure. What parts have you done of it already? Because you mentioned you'd been on some spots.
I am like directionally challenged, so I wish my wife was here to remind me, like she usually does, like, oh yeah, we did that and that. And I'm like, I don't know, I just get in the car and turn on the GPS and here we are. What was that?
I feel like I vaguely remember you texting me about it. It was somewhere in southern Vermont, right?
Yeah. I remember there being a solid amount of climbing.
I'm scrolling back in our texts right now. Way the fuck back. Oh, look at this. We got text messages from when I was on the NPT. Oh, that's right. You were trying to meet up with us or something, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, I was going to bring you some junior mints or something.
Some junior mints. Oh, geez. I can't tell you what I just... Let's see. I don't remember. But at least you've done, like, a little bit of the LT, so, like, you know, like, somewhat. I mean, you're experienced hiker, so obviously, like, you kind of know what to expect. But... I don't know. Are you nervous for anything, or like maybe not nervous, but anxious for anything?
I think the biggest thing I'm sketched out about is nutrition, because I know that we shouldn't do drops because it makes more sense to go into town. I don't know. We haven't done a lot of hitching.
You shouldn't. I get the hitching thing.
I've done it out in New Hampshire and, I don't know, it didn't have issues with it, but not having done it a lot, it's something that just is a variable that...
See, I understand that. It's one of those things where once you, like, before you do it a lot, like, it does make you really nervous, but then once you do it enough, it's, like, not even a, like, you literally never worry about it again, unless you have a bad experience,
maybe. It's
more
of just, like, the what if, like, we can't get one, or something like that.
So long as you're hitching from a trailhead that is, like, a regular, like, town that people go into, I guess, if that makes sense... I guarantee you, you will not. I've literally never in my entire life throughout all the AT, like all the hikes I've done, even on the NPT, never had a problem getting a hitch. Granted, nice. I've never tried to hitch from like the fucking bumfuck, you know?
Yeah.
But as long as you're like going into one of the main trail towns like Manchester or Bennington or Rutland or Waitsfield or... Waterbury Stowe or Johnson, which is basically all the towns that you can choose from on this trail.
Just cut out.
I was just listing all the towns basically.
Yeah.
But as long as you like go from one of these towns that is like a proper trail town, I guarantee you will not have any issues hitchhiking. Just yesterday I was in REI and I was kind of poking around the maps and like guidebook section. Mm-hmm. And I noticed there's it's probably old news for some of you, but there's a End-to-Enders guidebook that has like a lot of that town information in it, actually. And it's just a small little book.
Interesting.
If you haven't heard about that, Colby, I would recommend trying to look this up. It's called let me make sure I get the name right.
That's good to know, because usually I don't usually buy the books that come along with maps.
Yeah, it's called the End-to-Enders Guide. And I literally just flipped through it for like 2 seconds, but it looks like it has, I think it has like trail information. Let me just read this thing here. The Long Trail End to Enders Guide helps people find services near the Long Trail and is a supplement to the Long Trail Guide. And the Long Trail Guide has like the actual like trail information, but this End to Enders Guide has the most up-to-date information on amenities in Long Trail towns, with many town maps included. So the AWOL guide for the Appalachian Trail is like very similar to this, or it has a lot of similar information. So it would have like actual like little maps of the trail towns in it. So like,
sweet.
You could know like where the lodging was, and it would list a lot of time. It would list like
where the good restaurants,
the service.
Are,
yeah, and exactly. And sometimes, sweet. I don't know if the end-to-enders guide does this, but the AWOL guide would even say like sometimes like, oh, this restaurant has like a discount for hikers, or like this hotel like caters to hikers. So I don't know if this book goes that far, but I do remember yesterday I saw like a little map in it of one of the towns. So I'm sure it'll have marked on it like all the, you know, the lodging options and the resupply options and like the grocery stores and stuff, and shuttle services, I'm sure, as well. So I would recommend getting this book. It's tiny too. It's not very big. It's only $10.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now here.
I think getting that and flipping through that before your hike would probably like put your mind to ease a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know, the town parts of a through hike. I remember I told this to one of my friends at the beginning of the AT, and he didn't really understand what I meant until he experienced it, I guess. And then later he was like, yeah, you're actually totally right about this. So trust me, I know what I'm talking about. But what was I going to say? The town experience, that whole part of it, like, it is actually a really fun part of the thru-hiking
awesome.
Experience because, I don't know, it's just like, it's just a whole nother part of the adventure, I guess. Like, it always works out, but just like that slight, like, unknown aspect is kind of exciting sometimes. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but just trust me.
Excited for like the community aspect of it, because like even in the couple hikes we've done out there and stayed over, like we meet people in, you know, the in the lean-tos and what the heck, you know what, the Here's a reference to where we were. I remember there being like the largest lean-to I've ever seen in my life. And apparently I think it's like the largest one on the trail.
Largest lean-to on the trail.
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't know.
I don't know.
The shelters. One thing you're actually... sorry. Excuse me. One thing that you're actually going to really find cool about this trail, Colby, because... you know, most of your hiking being done in the Adirondacks, all the lean-tos are exactly the same there. And here on the long trail, actually, one of my favorite things about this trail is the variety of lean-to structures. Not very many of them. The only ones that are the same are the ones that are built by the Forest Service. And then pretty much all the other ones are like unique designs, which is really cool. Like some of them, especially up north, are like fully enclosed lodges with like bunk wow. beds and like all this shit, you know bunch of like these like beautiful, like really cool structures. Some of them aren't quite as cool, but they're all like unique designs for the most part. So that's something you'll probably find that like pretty cool about this trail, especially coming from the Adirondacks and just seeing like the same.
I'm stoked because I haven't gone, like, getting up north in Vermont is a long drive for me, and I haven't done like
the best part of the trail too.
I haven't done much hiking up there. I've done the lower parts. I've done like whatever the, like Ellen and like the southern, you know, 4,000 footers.
Ellen's like middle, I'd say.
Yeah.
But that's just, sorry, I live here, so I know.
No, you're good.
Precise locations of this stuff.
But like, I haven't been on Camel's Hump or, you know, what's the other
Mansfield.
Famous? Mansfield. Those two.
Oh, I'm excited for you.
I know.
There'll be you'll see a lot of people up on those two mountains, but
all right,
that's okay. Not anything worse than you've seen on like Marcy and shit, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Probably not as bad as Marcy, to be honest with you.
Okay. I was gonna ask if it was like
it will
Washington,
be crowded.
But
no, not as bad as Washington.
I don't think there's anywhere else on the earth that's that bad.
Yeah, probably not. There is a road up to Mansfield though.
Okay.
And both Mansfield and Camel's Hump are very popular day hikes because they're so close to Burlington. So you'll see a lot of like UVM kids hiking in like sweatpants and stuff, but
nice.
It's okay.
Sweet.
But then once you get north of Mansfield, after that, it gets like pretty remote. That's probably the least traveled part of the whole trail, but my personal favorite from like Mansfield up to the Canadian border. It's also probably the most difficult part of the trail. It's very rugged. Comparable to High Peaks, I'd say.
Gotcha.
Maybe not the herd paths, but comparable to a lot of the trails there. But you guys will crush it. You'll be in my neck of the woods then. So I'll be there.
And you'll come in and bring new energy.
Yes.
Our hike.
That's right. Maybe I'll finally get a chance to meet Catherine too.
You've never met Catherine?
I don't think I have.
Are you kidding me?
Or if I did, it was like fresh. I mean, Colby, we haven't even really seen each other since like
I know
freshman year.
That's crazy.
Like my freshman year, that is, which is my first semester freshman year. Yeah, I know that is funny.
At that point, I was doing my victory lap at school, and I had my last semester.
I remember you guys were training for your 46 climbs thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that, going back to the conversation about, you know, doing big things, like if you remember, like I really didn't, like I had a whole friend group of hikers and really didn't go hike with them because we were, it's definitely like a different thing to be going on and trying to do this stuff. And it's like, you got to get the miles in, you got to be at a certain pace, and it's just, I don't know. I'm tired of it. So I've mellowed out. Catherine likes racing more. So she still wants to do races, and I'm probably going to keep getting dragged into that. But I don't know. We'll see if there's – I'm sure at some point I'll get the bug again. But right now I'm started up a little woodworking business, making cutting boards. I'm you know, making my lines straight, my lawn.
You sound way older than you actually are.
Yeah, so.
Nah, but you're going to go through Hike the Long Trail. It's going to be tight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I want to finish this episode by telling a story that I've never told. It's not even a story, really. It's just it's kind of funny. It kind of makes me look like a douchebag, to be honest with you. But I'm going to tell it. So it has to do with 46 climbs.
All right.
I don't know if I had ever donated. I think I might have just like on campus, like at one of the booths, but I don't know if I had ever like properly signed up or anything until 2 years ago when I had the Trail Tales team.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can say this now because of last year and how much money that the Kyle Hates Hiking team raised. But I hiked the AT, the entire AT, in a 46 Climbs t-shirt, and I did not get that shirt because I signed up and got it like that. So the way I got this shirt, it was my senior year, second semester, not super long before I graduated and left for the AT, and I was out late night, you know, had a few, yep, tossed a few back with the boys or whatever, and I was coming back to my apartment on campus, and this won't mean anything for people who didn't go to Clarkson, but I was walking through the parking lot by the Adirondack Lodge, kind of,
yep,
like over where the parking for like my fraternity house was and shit, and there was this 46 Climbs t-shirt that was sprawled out on the back of... I don't even know this kid. Like I hiked him the one time like 5 years ago, and I literally haven't talked to him in 5 years. I don't know anything about him besides that. But you might know David Desmond, I think his name is.
Yep. Yeah.
So, and I knew his car too. So there was this 46 Climbs. I've never told him this, by the way. Like I said, I literally have not talked to this kid. Like I haven't talked to this kid. So like I'm assuming it was his, like he left his 46 Climbs t-shirt fucking on the back of his car, like drying or whatever.
No.
Dude, it was, and I just like, I just grabbed it.
Snagged it.
I just grabbed
it. Hilarious.
And I wore it for the entire, it was like gross too. It's like, it smelled like it had not been washed. I don't know why the fuck I did this, but I just grabbed it and that was the shirt I wore for literally every step of the Appalachian Trail.
That's hilarious. Well, you represented 46 Climbs in doing it, so I think you deserved it. So
I did. Yeah. Awesome. Even though I always felt like a little bit of a cheat for that, but now
you know, honestly, there's so many people that that will hike. You see pictures out, and people aren't wearing the shirts, and that's fine. But it's interesting. I don't know how many people are actually climbing and hiking for the event because not all of them have signed up. Mm. I think sometimes some people don't want to like have a fundraising page because fundraising is like not for them. And I totally get that.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to just sign up and get a shirt if you're one of those people listening. And don't worry about fundraising if you're not into fundraising. We just want you to be a part of the community and go out there and hike.
Yeah,
that is a hilarious story.
Yeah.
I wonder, he probably is like, yeah, man, I really loved that blue shirt.
That's what I was going to say. I still to this day, I'm like, cause like, I hiked with him that one time. I feel like I should probably send this to him now.
Yeah.
So hi, David. Sorry. But, I hiked with him one time. And then we just nothing happened. Like, we just, a different friend group or whatever. So, like, we were just kind of acquaintances, I'd say. So, like, I knew who he was. I knew what his car was. And I knew it was his shirt when I took it. But I think it was
his
shirt.
Did he have the blueberry, the blue car?
Yes, that's what it was. That's why I knew, because he fucking used to post it on Instagram all the time. That's how I knew. Oh, my God. This is so funny.
He's out, like, in Washington now doing, like, search and rescue. Like, he's doing some hardcore climbing and pretty freaking cool.
Nice. Well, David, if you want your shirt back, I still have it. It has about 2,190.9 miles of sweat, blood, sweat, and tears on it. It's a little bit bleached from the sun, and there's holes in it for my hip belt pocket or for my hip belt strap. But other than that, it's in pretty good shape. So let me know if you want it back.
Slightly used.
Colby, thank you for coming on for a third or maybe fourth, but I think third time. What should we plug at the end here? Anything you want to plug? 46climbs.com, obviously.
Yeah, 46climbs.com. we got Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff if you're into that. Come out and hike with us. Join the national community of hikers and climbers, and so the main thing too about this is, we're creating an environment where people feel more comfortable reaching out when they need help. And the more people that are involved and the more dots we have on this map, the more communities that we, penetrate with 46 climbers and more pictures online, the better. So we'd love to have you go out and hike with us. So
hell yeah. Hell yeah. Go check it out, everybody. And don't forget to join my team. Unless you want to give me a run for my money, or I guess not my money, but a run for the money, and start your own team and try to compete. But nah, you should. Nah. Join my team, please. Colby, thank you for doing this. We'll be in
Thanks
touch.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Hopefully I'll see you in just a few months.
I know.
We gotta
actually get out and hike and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, you're right. Because I want to make a video about 46 climbs for my channel and stuff. That would definitely help. That would definitely
now,
help my team,
now
too.
Now you
so.
Can't, like, edit me together to make me sound coherent if I'm in a video, though. So.
Yes, I can. What are you talking about? Have you seen my videos? Every 2 seconds, there's a jump cut.
All right.
Because I can't sound
Sounds
coherent
good.
Either. All right. Thank you, Colby. Thank you for listening, everybody. And thank you for everybody who's going to sign up for the team, or at least go, at the very least, just check out the website and all that stuff. Much appreciated. And, take care.
All right. Thank you.